still my heart.
And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, and I'm joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes from Shoreline Church.
Hey,
Jason, thanks for getting up this morning. I appreciate that.
Well,
and today, and all of this today.
I got up this morning. Enjoyed a good afternoon, and here we are.
It's good, So as we look across what we're going to talk about today, and we'll get into that in a second. But I think you were part of something yesterday, honoring first responders, and I think it's easy at times in different times of the year to kind of look at our first responders, but talk about what that meant and why you were a part of that.
Right. And so our church, Shoreline, had the opportunity to partner alongside a few of our political leaders, as well as, I should maybe say, just some of our folks in political office, and then a couple of our organizations in town to provide a first responders appreciation event. Yesterday we did it at the Fire Hall down in the heart of Farragut, and it was really, really fun. So lots of giveaways and lots of free food and lots of kind words and appreciation and thank yous that were all appropriate in the sense of, every one of those men and women, they deserve those thank yous. And so we did that. Luke Hoshaver, formerly with the Kansas City Royals and a Knoxville native, was there as well, and he spoke, and he had all kinds of other good folks that contributed stuff, Phil Fulmer and Scott Stallings and a bunch of other guys who blessed these men and women that serve on the front lines for us.
Yeah, it was a good time to do it because a year ago this week, Las Vegas shooting happened, and you look at times like that, and you think, who's the one running toward the danger? And it's those first responders that are willing, not just cops, not just firemen, but EMT, paramedics, all running toward the danger. And some of them have guns, but some of them don't, and they still run toward the danger. And it's always good to see that's one thing that I think everybody is, we're going to get in our topic today. The first responders is one thing I think everyone can come together on and unify and say, look, let's celebrate these folks.
Surely we can be unified.
Yeah, don't call me Shirley.
Okay. Yeah. Surely we believe that that these men and women are people that are worth celebrating. Certainly, there are things that happen across the political landscape and cultural landscape that sometimes happen, try to paint some of these folks in a bad light. And on occasion, there are things that have been done that are inappropriate, but we don't want to paint with that broad of a stroke.
Right.
And we recognize that 99.9% of the work that these amazing men and women are doing is admirable. And so we want to celebrate that. I joked yesterday. So, I mean, we are literally in the firehouse, in the garage, basically. Mm-hmm. And so you're in a massive room full of men and women that all have radios and phones that are going off, because you've got all this chatter that's happening to make sure our city is still safe. And I said to them, I said, for some reason, this feels much better than everyone's phones just going off on Sunday morning.
Right.
Like
right.
I'm completely comfortable with this. In fact, I'm glad your phones are going off, that you are hearing this. Not so much on Sunday for the average Joe.
I was at a fundraising banquet last week. And it was just a it was about human trafficking and the fight against it. And it was a great evening. And we got to the end and we were having a moment of prayer and just really, really felt like, okay, everybody is at a good place and we're trying to figure out the next step and let's pray. And it, right in the middle of the prayer, you heard, and it was a guy's cell phone that he did not turn off.
I do have a friend who will remain nameless that at times forgets to turn his phone off, and his phone rings wild thing when his wife calls. And it makes all of us feel uncomfortable
in so many ways.
And then frustrated that his phone's ringing.
Yeah, so, there's nothing better. That's another thing we can all unify on.
Yes.
Turn your phones on vibrate.
So let's talk today about the lack of unity.
And so what we're going to talk about today is the current climate. And we've been kind of touching it each week, with the current SCOTUS nominee and the hearings and everything that went on last week, and we're not gonna pick a side or dive deep into that. But what we want to do is talk about the tribalism and the desire for many of us to anytime situations like this occur, anytime there's a hearing in Washington or a hearing here in Nashville or something happening that's in the news, whether it be the national anthem or you can just fill in the blank. There's so many things that are going on. We, instead of looking at them objectively, we immediately run to our sides. Everybody runs to their corner and then we just start fighting. That's where we're at. And you hear things like, oh, we're on the verge of another civil war. We're on the verge of anarchy or whatever. And I would just caution us. 800,000 people were killed in the Civil War. Mm-hmm. That number is not a number that we should scoff at. That number is not something that we should flippantly say we're on the verge of another civil war. That could be devastating. Right. It would be devastating. Absolutely. to our country and to the world. And so as we look at the outrage that kind of rises up in all of us as we hear these things, Jason, what are some pointers? What are some things we can look to? And maybe let's start with, why do we feel like these right. things occur in these situations?
Yeah, so we've actually been hitting all around this with Shoreline over the last
absolutely.
Few weeks. We've been in the middle of this series entitled Why Are We Yelling? And it's a lot about civility or maybe the lack thereof. And we've talked about a number of things like this cynicism and negativity and kind of this innate opposition that seems to exist among so many of us. And so we talked a little bit about this and have talked actually quite a bit about this, but I really do believe it goes back so much to the fall. You mm-hmm. know, how did we get here? We have to start with it. And it does go back to Genesis 3. Sin comes into the world. Sin doesn't just begat more sin, as we often think. Instead, sin also brings on fallenness. Fallenness includes everything from pride mm-hmm. and pain and suffering and division and all of the stuff. But even we think about the fall brings on things like disease. It makes our bodies imperfect to a degree. And one of the crazy things that I've learned over the last several weeks in studying a bit of this is actually some of the psychology and some of the medical and scientific findings behind even the way our brains function. And so if you're familiar with this term, the negativity bias, it is true that actually our brain responds better or our brain responds stronger to negativity, to opposition. And so this is why often people use smear campaigns and political advertisements. This is why we're drawn towards the conflict on the sports radio show or whatever that looks like. And so this is one of the results of the fall, is even our brains, our minds are drawn towards negativity and drawn towards opposition and division. And that is why in the scripture, it's so important that we see two things being elevated. One, that we turn to Jesus to heal our hearts, but we also turn to Jesus to renew our minds. Our minds aren't just this thing that is neutral, that we think, hey, if I make a few steps towards Jesus, it gets better. And if I blatantly go and choose to live in debauchery, then it's getting a little bit worse. No, our default as fallen individuals is that our mind and our brain has a bent towards negativity and division. And so thus, that is where we have to turn to Christ and say, renew our minds, renew our spirits.
Yeah, and it is easy to get upset. And in today's time, I have conversations with my mom and other folks and people in my family that are, why does it seem so different nowadays? Well, it's different because it's the first time, you know, the last say, you know, since the late 90s, early 2000s. So right around 20 years, we've had the constant cable news.
Correct.
That was not a thing. Really, if you look back really before the O.J. Simpson trial, 24-hour news coverage like that just wasn't a thing.
Correct.
And so now we're at a place where you can turn the TV on when you get up in the morning on a certain channel and not turn it off the entire day. And all they're going to do is be feeding you with negative anger on either side. It doesn't matter. You have both sides doing that.
And not only do you have the constant feed coming into you, you also have the ability to have the constant feed
true.
Going out of you, meaning, you know, if you were frustrated, angry, upset, disillusioned, whatever it was 20 years ago, I mean, what were you going to do? Walk across the street, go tell your neighbors. Yep. You were going to go to your workplace. You're going to say some of those things. It was a discussion around the water cooler. Now it is, I have it at the tip of my fingers and I can blast out whatever my thoughts are, and unfortunately, often those thoughts are uninformed. They are unnecessary. They're unhelpful.
Yeah.
And then we get the situation that we get. It just builds off itself.
And I think it's easy at times to go, well, that's only for people that are bent political. But let's. It's not.
No.
It's not just politics. It's sports.
Yeah, anyone watch the Tennessee Vols over couple of seasons?
Right. Well, or NFL or anything.
Anything. Sure.
Politics have kind of made its way into everything. But even the other day, my wife posted a piece of furniture.
Your wife.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
she's the worst at posting.
Man.
Terrible, highly political, not
oh,
at
wait,
all.
Oh, wait, yeah. it was about furniture.
Yeah. It was about furniture. She posted some table, and I think she said, I don't even know what she said. Something like modern
I
don't even know
furniture.
How to say that word, you know, talk in that world, speak that language. But she says something to the effect of like modern, let's just go with that. Modern.
Yeah, let's go with modern.
So some random dude that we don't even know commented and was like, oh, that's not modern.
You don't even know modern.
And so then we found like he was just sitting around looking to critique. Well, that's not shabby chic. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you feeling the need to comment on these things?
I would be okay if I never heard you say the term shabby chic ever again.
I don't think Aaron used the word shabby chic. That's just the first thing
that
came to my mind.
I completely get it.
As we look at that, even when it comes to furniture,
right.
People are getting upset. I made a joke one time about, a post about Pepsi because I don't drink Pepsi, and I just made a joke about somebody was at the store in front of me buying Pepsi, and I think I said, I didn't know people did that. I didn't know people bought Pepsi. If you work for Pepsi, it's not a big deal. It's a joke.
Right.
And somebody commented, well, that's how I support my family, and now you're attacking my family. I was like, that was not attacking your family. I was just making a point to make a joke. Not a big deal. I don't like Pepsi,
I'm offended by
I'm
the
sorry,
very fact
Jason,
that you said that.
I appreciate that.
But seriously, does anyone?
I don't know.
Okay.
Clearly not a sponsor of our show. And so as we look through those things, we do have a sense of, I just want to be angry about something.
Right.
I want people to know how much I know about this topic, and I want them to know that I disagree with their take on everything. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right. Yeah. And it is doing infinitely more harm than it is of any help. And I think a lot of times we really have become so self-centered that we believe that our voice is somehow going to be the thing that corrects all wrongness in our society.
Yeah.
If I interject in here, if I step into that Facebook thread, if I throw that tweet out there, if I jump into that conversation at the lunch table, you know, that somehow everything is going to get better. And here's what we're saying. We're not saying that we're opinionless people
sure.
that have no spines and can't speak about things that matter. We do have to be mindful of what do we talk about, when do we talk about it, and how do we talk about it in such a way that doesn't create division, but instead creates unity.
Absolutely. We'll talk more when we come back. So today what we're looking at is tribalism, is outrage, is anger, and the fall, and all of these things, how we're a people that at times are bent to be folks that are just upset. We want to be riled up and angry.
I take exception with that. Don't you dare say that.
How dare you?
Do you not?
Sir?
Don't you tell me that I'm always getting upset.
I'm about to bring out the leather glove and smack you in the face. That's what they did. Isn't that what they did back in the day?
I don't know.
And then they dueled?
Wow.
I mean, think about how, when we say we're at the worst part, at least people aren't dueling.
There's no jousting.
There's no people going, you know what? Tomorrow we're going to take 10 steps and we're going to turn around and shoot at each other. And then however it ends, that's just, we're going to be okay with that.
If you're choosing between a duel or a joust,
I would
which
joust
one do you go?
100% of the time.
You're
100% of the time.
Just think how uncomfortable
100%
all that stuff
of the time
would be though. Just ride on the horse.
If I had to pick, because then I get to put on armor.
Now that is cool.
If you look at the duels back in the day, they weren't wearing armor.
That's
valid.
They
were just hoping you missed them.
That's valid.
So if you're jousting, you get to put on all that armor. You get to armor up your horse. You look cool.
So to make sure, because this is an important piece of the show, We have two people that are pro jousting.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. All
absolutely.
Right, let's continue on.
That's if we ever run for office, that will be.
It's a platform. To
How are we going to fix this issue? We're going to joust. That's exactly how we're going to.
I like it.
So as we look at that, and as we think about even if you watch the hearings, and it was difficult not to watch the hearings last week because it was on every. At Hope, we have a TV in the lobby, and somebody was like, maybe we should turn it off the hearings.
Because, yeah, good luck.
I was like, flip through the channels. We turned it on the weather channel. They actually were not covering the hearings.
They were covering the weather around the hearings.
That's right. And so thankfully, we were able to find a channel. But it was difficult. I remember last week I went to a store. And I thought, well, I probably won't get to watch it. And it was on in the store. I was able to sit down and watch it in there as well. And so as we look at the hearings with the Supreme Court and Kavanaugh and those that are accusing him of assault and inappropriate behavior back in high school, what we find is many of us before hearing anything, and even with those that are political leaders, you have a group of people that say, it doesn't matter what he says, I'm not going to support him. And then you have a group of people that says, it really doesn't matter what he says, I am going to support him. And then when the allegations come out, you find yourself going, yeah, I don't believe him. Why? Because he's in my tribe, or I don't believe, or I do believe him. You know,
right.
We run to our tribes and our corners just because we lean with a certain political party. Instead of saying, look, we're going to look at this objectively. We're going to listen to the hearings and then make a decision. And then we have one group. Maybe we have a group that don't listen to any of it, but they immediately pick a side without any real knowledge. And frankly, there's a lot of information we probably don't even have because
right.
we're not on the Senate hearing anyway, the committee.
Right. I think there's a couple things. One is, as you and I talked even off air, I do believe in certain situations, and I'm not sure that this is one of these, but there are certain things that are out there that it is okay to not have an opinion on. Mm-hmm. You know, our society constantly wants to force us to jump into a corner. And here is the honest reality. We don't know all the information. We don't have all the data in many things that happen. You know, you see a shooting that happens, you know, one of these situations where, speaking of first responders, you have a shooting that happens and so you have a group of people who are saying someone was shot wrongly, and then you have the police that are saying, well, this was handled mm-hmm. correctly. Well, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I do not know. And maybe certain things over time will be seen and come out. And so there we can find some real opportunities to stand for what's right, and we can speak towards things of importance. But there is no requirement on me as an individual that I have to speak on something within the first 30 seconds of it occurring. And what happens in that is that when we feel that pressure, we immediately default back to not informed opinions, but instead we default back to our parties.
Yep.
And again, as you said, it's not so much just about politics. I do think, though, what we're seeing is a bit of a society push back on some of our kind of two-party system mm-hmm. right now, because they're saying we want to just decide based on our convictions, based on our research, based on the opinions that we're forming, as opposed to just what someone tells us we have to do. But again, it's not just political in nature.
Well, and for so long it was simply a binary choice. You had one or the other, and I do think. There's a generation coming up saying, look, binary choice isn't enough anymore. We have to have more options when it comes to, especially the political realm of things. But what we also have to look at is are we being helpful in society? There are certainly things Christians need to speak to, hard things Christians need Right. to speak to and stand up for, and we're not going to be looked at well in some of those moments.
What were the things Paul spoke about? What were the things that you see the early, you know, apostles, the disciples, what were the things that they chose to speak on? There were times that they would say, you think about Jesus, mm-hmm. When was asked, you know, basically about this Caesar's authority,
right.
and whose name is on the coin, whose face is on the coin. And he would say, render to Caesar what's Caesar's. And his point wasn't some political statement. His point was it just doesn't matter. Yeah. Like you're talking about an earthly kingdom. I'm talking about an eternal kingdom. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. And yet, then we see Paul go and speak about things that if you're not careful, you think, is that counter to what Jesus did? Because Jesus didn't seem to really care about some stuff. And yet, Paul's getting engaged in some of these things. Why? Because they were gospel issues. It's the reason that we're such huge advocates of the work you guys do at Hope Resource Center. Because it is a gospel issue. It's not just a pro-life issue. It is not just a child issue or a baby issue or even a mother issue or a father issue. It is a gospel issue that we are indeed image bearers. We are made in the image of God. He created us unique as opposed to anything else. Everything else he spoke into existence. When it comes to man, he breathed us into existence. It is a gospel issue. That's why we say we're going to, that's why we're going to form an opinion. That's why we're going to stand strongly on that opinion. Unfortunately, again, we find ourselves being divisive in many, many cases on things that are not gospel issues.
And as we look at that, what we also find earlier, you said, when something happens or occurs, we don't need to come out with an opinion 30 seconds later. If you're a parent and you're listening to this, What do we try to tell our children? Don't make decisions in anger. Don't react immediately. Maybe calm down. Take some time to think through this.
And yet it's an indictment if we wait now.
Yeah. And now it's, why haven't you said anything about this? There was a story back, probably 6 months ago, coming out of Hollywood saying, why hasn't Taylor Swift spoken up about this issue? And I'm going, because she's a singer. She's probably thinking, did you see what happened to the Dixie Chicks? You think I'm going to speak out against this? I'm not saying anything.
Correct.
And it's a silly place that we find ourselves when we become the ones that react in anger, when we become the ones that can't hold our tongue, when we're looking at our children and young people of the world and saying, hold your tongue, or when the Parkland shooting happened in Florida and you have high school students coming out, and probably some of them haven't really looked into the issue, but they're hurt. They were involved in it.
Right.
And you have people saying, what do they know? They need to shut up. And then you're going, well hold on. What do you know?
Correct.
And maybe you need to not speak on this issue at the moment because you're riled up and you're pushing an agenda just like some others are pushing an agenda. And what we have to do is look at this issue. And this is coming from I just want you to know my heart, a recovering, I don't know the best way to, a political holic. Like it's a struggle for me, but I was there for so long that I was the one posting all the posts, getting in the comments and thinking I have to have an opinion on all of these things.
Yeah.
And
I actually have a few of those
flags
here.
You should read those.
We're going to begin to go through those.
That'll be a really long show.
no, go ahead. And I get it.
But we were, for a long time, that was who I was. And so it's not helpful. It's not, how many people did I win to my side in doing that? None.
And that is the point. As Christ followers, our conversation goal and our dialogue and discord goal is not to win.
Right.
It is hopefully to point people to the person of Jesus. And we have to, again, think about our tone. We have to think about our approach. And we certainly have to think about what we say.
Yeah, we'll be back. So today's topic is our outrage and our willingness to get into some of the messes and the conversations that are going on that may not be productive, that may not be helpful. And we're not saying this from like some ivory tower where we haven't ourselves been in those conversations, because I can't speak for Jason, but I know that I have been in very unproductive comment threads and conversations on topics that I shouldn't touch.
Absolutely. It should be noted this hour is not a part of that, because this is all very life-giving.
It is. That's true.
It is edifying.
It's true.
It is all of those things.
The point of this is there are some things you shouldn't speak to, but on Wednesdays for an hour.
Right. What we're trying to do is create a distinction between quality content.
That's right.
As opposed to non-quality content.
We would never tell you to unsubscribe to all the podcasts except for Between Sundays. But if you felt so led.
And I hope that our regular listeners have learned our bent towards sarcasm at this point. Because we are very much kidding.
Yes, that, absolutely. So as we look at the topic today and have these conversations, as we ended the last segment, we were talking about our goal shouldn't be to win these debates or these in a conversation. Our goal shouldn't be, I'm going to have this conversation, I'm going to win this person over.
Right.
Because if that's your goal, you no longer see them as an image bearer. You know, you just see them as a political pawn or a pawn in whatever the topic you're looking at. And I struggled with that for a long time. You know, working at Hope, we are adamantly pro-life. But for a long time in my life, when I would have conversations about life and abortion, my goal was to win people instead of having conversations. So when your goal is that, the person that you're having a conversation with simply becomes the issue, not an actual person. So what I try to tell people is we have to remember when we're talking about the issue of abortion or the issue of fill in the blank, we have to understand there are people in our society that are directly affected and impacted by that issue. So we can't separate the issue from the people, from the image bearer. We have to understand that when it comes to abortion, there are people in our society that truly believe that is their only option. We may disagree with that, but we have to meet them there before we can do anything. And so as Christians, when we see these conversations, we have to discern, and it's hard at times,
right,
to discern when we need to speak up, when we don't need to speak up.
Right. You know, it's interesting, as we were talking about, so we had this first responder event yesterday, and so Luke Hoshaver, again, if you're just joining us, for the Kansas City Royals, formerly with Kansas City Royals, World Series pitcher, all that stuff, Knoxville native, he was actually sharing, and he was sharing about the value of the tribe. He uses the term tribe quite often, and he was talking about and really admiring the tribe that is first responders and our folks that are in that network. And yet he was talking about one of the reasons that he loves kind of the tribe of first responders is because how much they care for each other, mm-hmm. and how they have this common kind of bent towards a unified mission. And so I think there is there's another side of that coin that unfortunately what happens is we all are drawn towards community. We talk about this often. We're made by a God who exists in community. He exists, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so if we're made in His image, we are people that are drawn towards community. Mm-hmm. And so what happens though is that we are so drawn to find maybe not an identity, but to find some relational piece in community that we immediately jump to these corners, as you said. And unfortunately, what we do is that we have now replaced a lot of the meaningful face-to-face relationships with a perceived community of I sit in the same camp with this person. I sit in the same political arena with this person. And so what we're almost trying to do is find relationship in these things. And unfortunately what happens is that the centerpiece of that tribe are things that are often either unhealthy, they're either incorrect, or they're certainly just not of God. And we have to be mindful of that.
And as we're going through that, it's also something we need to look at and say, are we willing? Because let's face it, all of us find ourselves in some tribe. And so tribalism is just going to be part of our life, whether it be a football team that we like or a political party that we feel connected to, the church, whatever. But what we also have to be willing to do is look in the mirror and call out folks on our team, in our tribe, when they are wrong.
Right.
And so when it comes to politics, that's why this last election was so difficult for so many, because you had a segment saying, it doesn't matter, I'm going to support this person. And then you had some folks that were coming up and saying, look, I've been a part of this party my entire life, but enough's enough. We need to step up and say this person or that. And we saw it on both sides.
Right.
And so are we willing to look in the mirror and say, hold on, this isn't who we are. This isn't our value system. And hold each other accountable.
Well, what is our allegiance to? Mm-hmm. Is our allegiance to the tribe or is our allegiance to our convictions?
Right.
And at times, even as some would describe during this last political cycle, they felt like they couldn't choose that both of those things were not in the same camp.
Right.
And so they said, I have an allegiance to a tribe, but unfortunately the allegiance to my tribe is also causing me to stand in conflict with mm-hmm. my convictions. And that is hard. And what we often saw too was one of them was going to win out.
Yep.
And in many people's cases, they chose the allegiance to the tribe rather than their convictions.
And the interesting thing is, it happened on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was the part that was.
Yeah, that wasn't some subtle.
Yeah, yeah. That was the part that was interesting to me, was watching it and going, hold on, there's folks on both sides that are like, I don't, yeah, this goes against my convictions. And so we find ourselves at a place where we have to be, again, that's hard. I had a conversation with my son yesterday morning because he was making some choices that were deceiving, and you know, for a 7 year, even when I was talking to, it was ultimately about Pokemon cards and taking them to school.
Wow.
And
so had a Pokemon card been snuck into a book bag?
Yes.
Okay.
And so as I'm talking to him,
so it should be noted, my three boys have never lied, and they've never. You know,
you're a pastor, so
yeah,
of course
our kids are. Yeah. I'm perfect.
So as I walked into the living room,
in fact, I think we actually have had a lying episode with the Pokemon card.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure.
So as I walked in the living room, I had a box in my hand, and I looked at my son, who's 7, and I said, "What is this?" And in my mind, I was thinking, it's like it's cigarettes or weed, but it's actually Pokemon cards. Like, if this is the worst conversation we ever have, I'm happy with that.
We're fantastic.
And so then I had to have a discussion.
You know what this leads to, right? You know, you start with Pokemon and you get to baseball cards
and bubblegum.
And then, oh my goodness, you know what this does.
Yeah. And so as we, that's exactly what was going through my head. And I was trying not to laugh as I was having a teachable moment with my son. But we have those moments of we want to point people to a greater truth, not just in my home,
right,
but in my conversations.
The Pokemon was not the issue.
That was not
the
issue.
Integrity and honesty.
It's a hard issue. It's a convictions. We do not want to be a people in the Woodhouse. We do not want to be a people that are lying and deceiving and sneaking and going behind mom and dad's back, because if you are doing that right now at 7 with Pokemon cards, there may be a time when you're a teenager, you're going to be doing something else behind our back.
Or as an adult, you're doing that with stocks and trading.
Exactly. And so we want to take care of that now. But I think what social media and other things, the freedom, so much information right now at our fingertips, that as adults, we've become that. And we become a people that are deceiving. We become a people that quickly can throw out an opinion and not be rational and out of anger. And you've seen those posts online of, well, if so-and-so ever comes back to my house, and you're like, you know who they're talking about, but they don't want to actually give the name, or they throw their spouse under the bus, or their baby mama or baby daddy under the bus. And we see all of these things that we wouldn't dare want our children to do, but because it's so easy for us now, it's just a lot more difficult. Like you were saying earlier, back in the day, you were like, well, I'm not going to call somebody and vent out this anger, so it'll just go away. But now it's like, I don't have to call anybody.
Right.
I can take care of it immediately.
Yeah. The passive aggression has been elevated, to an extent. I think maybe for me that the biggest concern in this, or one of the biggest concerns in this, is that how often that we step immediately towards our tribe and we miss out on people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm reminded of, I think you referenced to, one of our recent school shootings, and immediately there's these discussions. You're talking just hours after children have been shot down, and we're talking about gun rights,
mm-hmm.
and people at odds with each other, and we're missing, hey, this is a six-year-old that has just been murdered in one of our public schools. How did this happen let's not so much talk about the guns. Let's talk about the life that was lost. Mm-hmm. And this is what we do. We want to jump straight into our tribe before we jump into the lives of people. And we have to be mindful of that.
Yes. We'll finish up when we come back. You know, Jason, this conversation today has been soothing. I appreciate it. It has really calmed. I'm not outraged. I'm not.
I don't know if I believe you.
Normally,
no, I agree. But I don't think you came in outraged.
The old me would have came in really outraged.
Right.
And left extremely outraged. but I do hope that this conversation is helpful, because I think it's a it's been one, and we've texted back and forth for the last few weeks,
right.
And really wanting to deal with the topic. But I think it's important that we waited a few weeks,
right.
Because I'll just be honest. I don't know if I'd have handled it, in the proper way.
Right.
And so hopefully it's been handled in a proper way.
Was that an implication that you think you've handled it in the proper way?
Yeah, I think it was a grand slam.
Good.
That's what I'm saying.
Good.
Yeah.
No, it is so important. And there is going to be another issue that comes right down the pipe.
Sure.
It is not just Supreme Court, nominations. We're talking about whatever issue that pops up in a month from now, then the issue that will show up another month after that, and the incident that will create create division in our country. Mm-hmm. This is one of these things that we said we can't just put a few boundaries in our life and hope that we're going to get better in this. This really is a heart issue. And that's where I go back to where we started this morning. This is where we are mindful that we can't just be people who just kind of open up the Bible on occasion and we just kind of look for a key verse that helps us in a hard moment. But no, we are people that are walking in step with the Father through His Word. We're students of the Word, so it's shaping our mind, it's mm-hmm. renewing our mind. We're people of prayer, far beyond just a simple prayer here and there before a meal, but no, we are asking the Lord in our time with Him to refine and to shape us and to renew our hearts and our minds. This is one of these things that ultimately we can't just say we're going to be better in the moment. We have to say, no, we're going to ask Christ to redeem us in every way possible, so when the moment comes, we're not having to say, oh gosh, do I say that or do I not say that? We just already know that's not wise. The discernment has already been built into your spirit.
Yeah, and it is important that it helps to have people in your life that will point that out as well. Now when a political commercial comes on at the house, Aaron looks at me and says, I don't need your political opinion on this. And she's honest. She's not joking. She really means, I don't need you to comment on every single commercial that comes on.
She's like, I don't need your commentary, but let me tell you, this piece of furniture is modern.
And it's shabby chic.
And it is so shabby chic. So I don't know. No.
And so as we look at that, there are some great resources out there. Jason wouldn't say this on air. He would say it off air to me, but he wouldn't say it on air that there's a really good series going on at Shoreline right now called Why Are We Yelling, which I would encourage you to go to the website and watch and listen to.
Despite the pastor who I,
yes, it is Jason.
It
Jason
is me. Despite the pastor. I think we've talked about some important things over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, and today's show is some of that, but I would encourage you to listen to that. Also, Ed Stetzer has a book coming out, or it might have been released this week, called Christians in an Age of Outrage, which would be a good resource for those of you that look into politics a little bit, and maybe that's your go-to. Glenn Beck, you might have heard of, wrote a book called Addicted to Outrage, and it is actually very helpful, and it doesn't really dive too much into politics. It just says we as a society now seem to be addicted to outrage. He's a recovering alcoholic, and he walks through how to deal with the addiction.
Yeah, and I would just encourage you maybe to do a quick little Google search on negativity bias.
Yeah.
It was interesting to me just to really see the scientific and medical data that speaks towards our brains have an attraction towards negativity. And again, we don't say that means that God screwed up with us. No,
right.
We say that is the result of the fall. And so again, it calls towards our need for renewal.
Yeah. And so use those tools, look them up. And ultimately what we want to do is just be a people that are first and foremost gospel people. That should, if we get that, everything else should work out. It'll drive us to where we need to be. We'll be able to discern when we should speak up, when we shouldn't, what's a helpful conversation, what's not, when we need to boldly stand up, regardless of consequence to for the gospel. And it's not easy, but we want you to know we're going through it in the same way and having the struggles in the same way.
Yeah, it's an everyday issue. It is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Dare I say, between Sundays issue.
Especially between Sundays. We'll be back next week. We will see.